preaching this word. Hallelujah. we got people healed. Now let's praise God for it. Amen. How many of you know the Hebrew alphabet? You know, we singing the song a while ago. They were singing Alpha and Omega from the beginning to the end. That's New Testament. That's Greek. What about the Hebrew? How many wants to learn the Hebrew alphabet? Huh? You said you don't know where to learn. You don't even know where to find it, do you? No. How about the 119th Psalm? I said, how about the 119th Psalm? Open your Bible to the 119th Psalm. Now, if you got some of these translations, I don't know what you'll find. But I know one thing. If you'll turn to the, and I'm not, I say this, and I don't mean this in any religious way like the King James or New King James or something. But at least it does keep everything intact. Hallelujah. And I want you to look at the 119th Psalm with me. Everybody there? 119th? What translation do you have, hon? Danny? Huh? Oh, well, come up here with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come here. Praise God. You get the prize. No, it's just, don't misunderstand me. I hate it when people say, well, it's good. You got to have the King James. Well, praise God. What really gets me is there's a lot of people, they don't want the King James. And they say, you don't need a King. But they refer to other translations, and then they always refer to the King James to get a clarity on something. Praise God. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, you at the 119th Psalm? Are you still? My Lord, where? Where?
It's very long.
Well, I know it's very long. Would you believe if I told you it was the longest chapter in the Bible? Oh, you wouldn't believe. Okay, that's right. At least he believes me. Well, okay, turn. How about the 117th? That's the shortest chapter in the Bible. Okay, look at verse 1.
Yep.
What did it start out with?
Aleph.
Aleph Tav. Aleph is A. Tav is Jesus. It's the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, let me just give you a little quick lesson because I don't go home till tomorrow, so praise God. I mean, I'm all right. So look at verse 1, and it says Aleph, right? Well, that's A, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now go down 8 verses. Go down 8 verses, and it said Bet. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
That's B, okay. And that's, now look, go down to the next 8. Every 8 verses in 119th Psalm gives you a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So you probably, when you read the Bible through, you just skip all that stuff. Yeah, you don't, yeah, who wants to read all that? Bless God. So you just skip all of it. But every, look at that. Now, Beth, what is, you know, Aleph, what I loved about when you get into the scripture, like Aleph and all that, they didn't use Aleph back in the day. They used, they would draw emblems, and it was always, it was a bull. Hallelujah. I mean, it was fierce and strong because it referred to strong because my God is strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of people goes to the Bet, and it comes from Bethel, which means a house. And I like it this here because a lot of people don't understand this, but Bethany. I've never understood why lots of churches want to be called Bethany. It means the poor house. Bethany means the house of poverty. I don't believe the church is the house of poverty. It's the reason why, because we just don't study and find out what words mean. I'm on a big deal right now in my spirit. I'm trying to tell people, learn words. Learn the meanings of words, praise God, because words mean something. Hallelujah, the incarnate Christ. I've been now, right now, for days or weeks and weeks studying on the incarnate Christ. And that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, when he was, oh, my Lord. And it starts out, and how is the incarnate Christ? Man, he was the, hallelujah, the God in heaven. He came down and became a form of man. Jesus means God-man. And here it comes down, praise God. And it is just so awesome to see that here he is back sitting at the right hand of his Father making intercession for us today. Now, hallelujah. Isn't that right? How many believes that? I believe that. I believe that. I believe it. Okay, you could go ahead and sit down. But sorry, I didn't mean to keep you. Thank you. But every 8 verses gives you a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So you can do that, and you can learn the Hebrew alphabet. How many did not know that? Raise your hand. Praise God. How many now knows it? All right. No, seriously, there's just a lot of times, there's just little simple things that can really help us in Scripture that we need to learn. And I've been an evangelist for so many years and an apostle building churches. I really feel like that the Lord is changing my ministry to more of a teacher, because I just love to teach the Word of God. I mean, there is nothing like teaching the Word of God. I've got a message. Praise God. I'm getting there. Praise God. I told somebody when I was down at CLC Church, they said something about how old I was. I said, man, I am not old. I've just been around a long time. I've seen a lot of things come and go, and thank God for some of those that's gone. Hallelujah. I'm still looking for the new thing. As the pastor says, a new song. Hallelujah. We still got, well, you know, if you really understand something in the Scripture, let's just have fun tonight. How many wants to have fun tonight? How many know that Christians should be the happiest people in the world? Should be having more fun than anybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I tell you what has really, really been in my heart here lately, and I read it, and I know it, but I just still love to read it. Did you know that Jesus Christ wrote a chapter in the Bible that it was absolutely, it just to me, it was just amazing, because you really get to see the human side. Everybody say human side. The human side of Jesus Christ. Now, we know he's the Son of God. We know that he came down here. But when I say the human side of Jesus Christ, I'm talking about him, because he came down and took on the form of man. But, and you know, and we say that he knows everything. He feels with us. He has compassion. Compassion means that when they have this compassion, it means that he feels what you feel. If you hurt, he hurts. If you're happy, he's happy. Praise God. But this is compassion. And I look at this here now, in the chapters of John, like 15, 16, 17, this is all the time that Jesus Christ is in the upper room with all of his disciples, and what we refer to as the Lord's Supper or something like that. It's just where he's eating with them and breaking bread with them, and that's when he tells that Judas is going to betray him and all of this. And he's telling, but you know what? Every one of those chapters combined together, Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples something. He's giving them a prophetic word, and they're never grasping it. He keeps telling them that he's going away. He keeps telling them everything is going to happen. They still didn't get it. And they keep telling them. But do you know what? Right after that, they're in that upper room, and Jesus Christ is talking to these disciples. Do you realize that he left there and went to the Garden of Gethsemane? And that's where that there he's praying that prayer. And it said his great drops of blood, as he's perspired. And saying there in that 44th verse, he said, Lord, if you can remove this cup from me. But he said, not my will, but yours be done. So it was referring to his crucifixion and his dying on the cross. And it happened that night. They came and got him. What I want you to understand something is this. Jesus Christ knew that his days were numbered right then. He knew that not days, but just in the next hours. Now it's come down to hours. And he knew it was going to happen. And he's trying to tell them, but you know what the entire message was? You said, well, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whichever you want to call it, is the whole thing that Jesus Christ was trying to teach them, you need the promise of the Father. You disciples, if you're going to survive, and if you're going to make it, and everything's going to happen, it has to do with, hallelujah. And it keeps on telling us over and over that Jesus Christ kept telling them the promise of the Father. But then in that 17th chapter of John, you know what? Go ahead and open your Bibles. Hey, I'm going to preach some more stuff here, but I want to lay down some rules here a minute. I want you to look at the 17th chapter of the book of John. I want you to understand something, how precious it was what Jesus Christ did, that you and I can have eternal life. And the pastor kept talking about these are some of the stuff that I had in my mind about ministry. We're going to serve as kings and priests. Hey, get away from this thing. When I get to heaven, I'm just going to sit around the feet of Jesus. No, you're not. You're not just going to sit around the feet of Jesus. He said you're going to serve as kings and priests. There's going to be work to do. There's going to be things to do. Hallelujah. We're going to be having all of these wonderful things that we are going to have the power to be able to do, because we have become the daughters, sons and daughters of God. And here, and I want you to look at this 17th chapter. Pastor, I want you to come and stand with me, please, sir. And I want you to help me read this. You know, I love, when I do revivals, I have a lot of people just read with me and read for me, because that way we get to hear it twice. And then I get to interrupt them. Hallelujah. And then we get to hear it some more. The 17th chapter of the book of John. I want you to see with me tonight, church. This is just a little teaching session. I want you to see the human side of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to look at verse 5. You know that it tells us in John chapter 1, verse 1, it said, in the beginning. Hallelujah. Is that what it says? Huh? And it's talking about that he was with the Father. You know, it's talking about in the beginning. Hallelujah. I want you to look at this verse 5 at the 17th chapter of John. Pastor, oh, you've got a microphone. Okay, great. Praise God. Would you just start reading the chapter 5?
And now, O Father.
Okay, now listen to me. Listen. Now, I'm going to interrupt you.
I'm not being rude.
I'm just going
to.
Okay. He is talking to the Father. I said, he's talking to the Father. He starts it off. He said, O Father. This ought to give us a pretty good clue who he's talking to. Okay, oh, Father, what?
Glorify me together.
Wait a minute. Glorify me. You got it.
I got it.
This is fun, isn't it?
It's great.
Yeah. Glorify me, who?
Together with yourself.
Oh, wow. Glorify me together with yourself. And then he says,
with the glory which I had with
ooh,
you.
Come on. Now, I want you to watch this glory. Watch this glory. With the glory.
With the glory which I had with you before the world was.
Oh, my Lord, my God. You should be jumping up and down and shouting. With the glory that I had with you. Mm-hmm. From when?
Before the world was.
Before the world was. How many learned something right there? Before the world was. This was before that God, this was before Genesis 1:1. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was with the Father when they created this thing, and they put the animals there and they put the seas there. Do you realize that? How come? Have you ever thought, man, all of the oceans, and here today we ate it at the home of a beautiful, oh my Lord, what? I better not talk about that. That was some food today we ate. But I'm looking out there at all that water. How come that water doesn't come up and just wipe out this town? How come they're going out the oceans and the seas don't just take and just cover everything? Is because when God created the heavens and the earth, and when the waters came, he said, waters, you can come up to here. Mm-hmm. And this is far as you go.
Amen.
And here it is now 2,000, not 2,000, but now this is going back to 6,000 years ago. The waters just come up to there.
Amen.
And they never go any farther.
Amen.
Don't you like that?
Amen.
Praise God, if you didn't, I mean, boy, don't buy beachfront properties, hallelujah. Because he says, don't come any farther. And it never has. Oh, you say, well, there's a tsunami here and there. Well, those are things that just happen. But the seas stay in place. Now, I want you to just read through that whole fifth chapter one more time.
Okay.
But right straight through. I want you to just listen to him straight through. And look at Jesus Christ talking to the Father. He's talking to the Father. And you can see, can you feel with me the homesickness of Jesus Christ? as he began to sense that he was, and that glory that was with him. Now, I want you to listen to this very carefully now, what the pastor is reading.
And now, O Father,
glorify
me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was.
That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was with the Father when all of this took place. We get confused and we talk about the Lord loving the earth. It's not the earth, it's the world. You're the world. Just like you're the church. You know? Now that I look at this. Now look at this. Look at verse 24. Go to verse 24. Look at verse, and boy, you're going to really see the impact of this right now.
Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am.
Oh, now listen. Now he's even talking to the Father because now he's had his 3.5 years of ministry. And he's fixing to go to the, he's fixing, that's a good old Texas slang. He's fixing or he's about to go to the cross. And he tells him that now then, hallelujah, here it is. It's all coming about. And the Lord realizes that his time upon the face of the earth is over. And read it, start from the beginning to verse 27 again, 24 again.
Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory.
That they behold. In other words, Jesus is telling the Father, he wants us to behold his glory, and he wants us to be together, and he wants us all blessed together. He's telling the Father, this is for your benefit that he is wanting to bless and bless you. Praise God. Go ahead, Pastor.
Which you have given me.
Now, wait a minute. Which you have given me.
For you loved me before the foundation.
Oh, my Lord. You loved me before the foundation
of
the world. And nobody's shouting.
Amen.
Come on, somebody just give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did you know if we got rid of all the Bible except John 3:16, we'd have enough to save the world?
Amen.
What does it say in John 3:16? You don't have to read it. Just say it. Pastor, will you turn over and read John 3:16?
For God so loved the world.
Oh, he loved the world. Didn't say the earth.
Amen.
The world.
That he gave his only begotten.
Oh, that's that Jesus we're talking about.
Whomsoever believes in him.
Oh, that if you believe in him.
Shall not perish.
You're not going to perish, praise God.
But shall have eternal life.
Eternal life. That means forever and forever and forever. You see, a lot of people just don't realize it. I know everybody could quote John 3:16. How many could quote John 3:16? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand if you can quote John 3:16. 3:16. You know. Oh, you did you put your hand up? Okay. But nobody can quote John 3:17. Quote John 3:17. She looked at her Bible. All right, Pastor, you better read it, sir.
All right.
3:17, you better read it. Because 3:16 is that God loved us so much, he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then 17, listen what Jesus says.
For God did not send his Son.
God didn't send Jesus here.
Into the world.
Uh-huh.
To condemn the world.
To condemn the world.
But that the world through him might be saved.
Amen. And you keep on reading, you find that you that are in sin, you're condemned already.
That's right.
He didn't have to condemn you. You're already condemned. I just want you to, sometimes that we just need to stop and slow down and smell the roses. And we need to understand that this word is so full of power and has so much in it. I mean, so much in it as we take it word for word and understand that God loved us so much, he gave us his only begotten Son. And that Son now is telling his disciples, hallelujah. And then he goes into prayer. And this is regarded as Jesus' prayer to the Father. And he's asking and telling the Father, I was with you when all of this happened. Father, I was with you when all of this took place. And now then he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is where he's praying as his great drops of blood is falling from his forehead. And he says, not my will, Father, but yours be done. And as then as the guards came and all and took him away and took him before Pilate, our Lord and Savior, he died upon a horrible cross. But thanks be unto God, he rose again. And it says he's sitting at the right hand of the Father now. And he sits there, and I'll pray like this is the Father. I'm the Son. I died for those people. I suffered for those people. And he's saying, bless them as you have so blessed me. Church, let me tell you something. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen. And to give praise and glory and honor to, because we exist today because my God exists. And because my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ exists, and he's coming again without sin into salvation for every one of you that love him. It doesn't cost money. It doesn't cost. I mean, you know what? I get so sick and tired of hearing preachers on TV and radio, quit your sinning and come to church. Well, bless God, if you quit sinning, what do you even need church? Praise God. It's not trying to, you know, put you on a some kind of a trip here that you need to quit sinning and come to church. What you need to do is come to church with your sin and let him wash you.
Thank you, Lord.
Make it white as snow.
Thank you, Lord.
And the sins are washed away. Oh, my Lord, my God, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We have victory tonight in Jesus' name. Praise God. I tell you what happens is that I was pastor of a church in the state of Oklahoma, and I had a boy named Bill Bell. Say Bill Bell with me, please. He smoked cigarettes. Now, I'm not fixing to condemn anybody to preach a sermon on cigarettes here, praise God. Calm down, praise the Lord. Don't have a nicotine fit on me right now. He said, and he smoked a cigarette, and so Bill, he just quit church. I said, Bill, why'd you quit church? He said, well, there's some of the ladies at church. No, sorry, ladies. He just said, I'm just repeating him. He said, they told me that I shouldn't come to church to smoke cigarettes. So I can't quit smoking. I can't quit. So I'm just going to quit church. I said, no, Bill, no. I want you to just keep coming to church. Get so full of God. Get so full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Get so full of him that, praise God, one of these days you won't even need your cigarettes.
Amen. Amen.
But we can't get you off of the old cigarettes if you're out there somewhere. Amen. We want you in here where we can love on you, pray for you, and be your friend. Well, he said he did, but he didn't. And I was at a hardware store, and I'm walking around this hardware store because he was a builder. And I'm walking around this hardware store, and I looked over there, and here's old Bill smoking his cigarette. Boy, just blowing rings in the heavens. And he's just blowing his smoke and going on. And he looked up, and he saw me. And he put the cigarette in his pocket. I said, he put his cigarette in his pocket. I can't believe that. So I walked up to him, and I said, hey, Bill, how you doing? Oh, man, he said, listen, oh, it's so good to see you, Pastor, but I got to go. I said, no, don't go. Just stay here with me. Talk. No, brother, listen, I've got to go. And he said, got the cigarette. I thought, you're not leaving here. I'm a little ornery once in a while. And I said, you're not leaving here till we have this talk. He said, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I have got to go. Smoke's boiling up. Smoke's coming up. And I just keep on, brother, it's so good to see you, Bill. Man, and all of a sudden, he said, well, I don't know whether I'll go to hell for smoking or not, but I know I'll go to hell for lying. I said, what's your mind? He said, I'm still smoking. I said, what do you do? I said, I'll tell you, I'm not ever going to come see you again. Why? I said, because you're hiding your cigarette. I don't care if you smoke. I don't care if you blow smoke out your ears. Listen to me. That's not what it's about. I want to be your friend. I just want to love you, buddy. And he said, "Do you really mean that?" And you know what? Bill started coming back to church, and he was real regular. And it took him several weeks, maybe even a few months. But one day, I don't even know what I was preaching with, but he came down, and he put that pack of cigarettes at the altar area. He said, "I'm over it. I'm delivered. I'm set free in the name of Jesus." And that's exactly what happened. But it doesn't happen going around condemning people. We're not there to condemn people. Amen. So Cecil finally, and you know what? Consequently, his son then became a pastor, and I used to preach revivals for his son. Praise God. Listen, this thing really works. I said, this thing really works. Praise God. Amen. Go, somebody just praise the Lord. Okay, Pastor, I may call on you again in a minute. Praise God. So be wound up and ready to go. Praise God. Whew, my Lord. How many's ever been to Costa Rica? Nobody's been to Costa Rica, my Lord. I've been to Costa Rica. You've been to Costa Rica. Oh, Colombia, but that's not Costa Rica. That's in another. Costa Rica is in Central America. Colombia is in South America. A little history here. Praise God. A little geography, I'm sorry. A little geography. Praise the Lord. Yeah, she is from Colombia, from Cali. That's right. Praise God. That's a long way from where I live. I live on the Caribbean Sea. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Oh, Lord. Where was I going with this? There I was in Costa Rica. Doris and I, a lot of people don't understand, when we go into a country and a city and start a crusade, we don't have a bunch of Christians following us around with pick and shovel, helping us clean up stuff. It's just she and I. And here we are, and this place that we got in Costa Rica was going to preach this crusade. Oh, Lord, they had a bunch of cows in there before. So she and I are cleaning it up. And guess what? We're cleaning up. Hallelujah. Where the cows were. We built a platform. Yeah, if you're going to be in a missionary evangelist, some of you guys that want to be missionary evangelists, praise God and preach and shout, there's a lot of work to be done before you get to preach and shout. And you know what I mean? And we got it all. It took us about 3 months because it was a mess there in that place. So here we got it all cleaned up. We got everything ready. Built that platform. Been put out flyers. Announced that we were going to have an evangelistic crusade in Cartago, Costa Rica for the people in that city. That was above San Jose, higher up in the mountains. Man, Doris, my wife plays piano, organ, accordion. She plays all these instruments. We had her piano set up. We had everything set up. We were going to take the city there in Costa Rica for Jesus. And if we got it all ready, we got everything ready to go. So I'm sitting on a platform. We've strung lights. I've dug poles. I've got poles in the ground. Lights is on now. The platform is then placed. Open air, right there's the highway. I don't know why people do this, but when you start doing something for God, how come the devil always sticks up his ugly head? Everybody rode up and down the road honking their horns. Here we are trying to sing and they're honking their horns, trying to aggravate us. Well, all we did is turn up the microphone. Hallelujah. And we're there, and Doris is playing and singing and playing and singing. We're waiting. We're waiting for the hundreds to come flooding our crusade. It didn't happen. So we just kept on. After 30 minutes, she said, "Honey, how long do I keep going?" I said, "Man, there's nobody here yet. Just keep playing." So she's playing, you know, singing. She said, "I'm tired." If you hire your wife to work with you, they talk back to you. They talk back. Praise God. It's better to have somebody you don't even know their name. So she's playing, singing. I said, "Well, okay, I understand." I said, "But there's no people." We put out thousands of flyers. There's still no people. So I said, "Okay, you better quit." And so I got the microphone and laid my Bible on a little podium like this. She said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to preach." I didn't clean off, you know, all of this manure out of this yard and build all of this and build a platform not to preach. I'm going to preach. So I started preaching. Man, people honking up and down the road and those people drive those big old buses, honking those air horns. And I'm up there preaching, praise God, hallelujah. Jesus say, Jesus, and I'm preaching all this. And people start throwing down, look, and there's not anybody there but my wife sitting there and me running around like a chicken with his head cut off on the platform preaching about Jesus. And as I keep on preaching, all of a sudden, where we had put a culvert there for people to be able to come across and everything, four cows walked across it. I'll never forget it, Pastor. They were Holsteins. If you know what a Holstein is, that's a black and white cow. Praise God. And that four cows came across, came right up the middle aisle. I'm up here preaching away, and these four cows come and started eating right there in the front. I thought, my Lord. So there I just kept on preaching, and those four cows just kept on grazing. And then I gave an altar call. Praise God. Well, listen, if you're going to do it right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I gave an altar call. We started packing up our gear, get our PA equipment. We got it in our Suburban. And to go back to San Jose where we were staying. And as we did, we're driving. Boy, your wife, I said your wife really helps you a lot of times. She's driving along. We're driving along there. She hadn't said a word since I preached to the cows. And she turned. She said, do you realize that you preached to four cows tonight? I wasn't going to be undone there. I said, well, they'll give contented milk from this day forward. Praise God. The next day we went back and start all over again. Eight people showed up. Well, that's an 800% increase. Praise God. Hallelujah. Those eight people came. We went on. I preached for 7 months. And it went from four cows to more people. And to more people until we finally ended up with one of the largest churches in Costa Rica. Come on. But those churches started with four cows. And I just want to tell you something, church. Hang in there. Don't give up. Hallelujah. All I got to say is if he gives you cows, make steak. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. We're not going to be defeated. We're not going to be defeated. You know that. And so we kept on until after 7 months of preaching there, that stands right now one of the finest, one of the greatest churches in Costa Rica. He was only a 19-year-old boy that I took it for a pastor. His name is Hugo Solis. And here Hugo now runs in the thousands. And it all started with four cows. But so what could happen to us is here is my catch on this. You don't quit. You may not start with too many. You may not start with much. It may look like a total failure, but my God will never count you out. Hallelujah. He's with you and to help you keep this going. You are blessed. Come on, somebody praise the Lord in the house tonight. Hallelujah. But this is the way it gets going, and this is the way it starts. And sometimes it starts in weird, weird ways. But remember, church, we're on the winning side. Hallelujah. Whether it's cows or whether it's nothing or whatever it is, we are still going to win. Praise be to the Lamb of God. And as my Lord and Savior said, my Father, hallelujah, he knew what he was sent for. You realize that Jesus Christ was 30 years old when he started his ministry. A lot of you may not know this, but the reason why he had to wait till 30, because that was the law. That was the law. You did not do public ministry in the synagogues or anything without being 30. That was the age of accountability. Said 30. Hey, when I became a missionary called, man, praise God, I was 31. So I got there. Hallelujah. So what I want you to understand is that what's been happening and taking place all of these years is still happening and taking place. And it's because of people like you that help support missions and support missionaries and support, and that we keep on going and going, and that we keep on winning. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Okay, I want you to look at something here in the Word. I want you to look at the 8th chapter of the book of John. I'm sorry, but 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Excuse me. Chapter 8, Acts. Chapter 8. And I want you to look with me at the verse 5. I want to give you some word here. I don't want to go off here and leave you, hallelujah, just dangling with some cows and praise God and all of this. But I want you to get the word. And he says right here in this 5th verse. Now, by the way, can I give you a little bit more Bible study and a little more history? Is that okay? Is that okay? Okay, let me tell you something. This particular passage of Scripture in the 8th chapter of the book of John, of Acts, I keep going to say that, John, and Acts, is that because of this verses of Scripture. Listen, you need to understand this in Bible history and everything. This chapter 8 of the book of Acts, where Philip goes to Samaria and preaches. His situation was almost like the cows too, you know, because that he goes to Samaria. Now, here's some of the history. This was 8 years after the day of Pentecost. This was 8 years after that Philip goes to Samaria. Another thing I want you to understand is Samaria is 40 miles from Jerusalem. Okay, you got that? 40 miles. And he goes to Samaria to preach. Now, remember this, too. Philip was not a mission, not an apostle. He wasn't one of the disciples. They didn't even call him an evangelist. They just calls him Philip. And Philip was in Jerusalem where it should have been having a revival, should have been preaching the gospel, and everybody should have been getting saved and healed. But that's where all the problems were. Jerusalem was in total havoc. It was just, this is where that Saul, well, it was Paul, Saul before Paul, and this is where that they had killed Stephen, and all these weird things was happening in Jerusalem, and Philip goes to Samaria. Now, church, why is this important to you and to me? It's because this was called the time of transition. This was, listen to me, the first evangelistic crusade preached to Gentiles. People like you and me. Now, unless there's a few Jews. How many Jews we have in here? No Jews. Then you're just a bunch of Gentiles. And what does the word Gentile mean? Heathens. We're just a bunch of heathens. So you find out that this was the first time that anyone ever went like to places like Samaria and preached Jesus. Seriously, follow me now. This was the first crusade preached to Gentile people like you and me. And why this is so important is that this happened 2,000 years ago with Philip. Not one chosen to be a great apostle, not one of the disciples, but they just call him like a deacon. But he goes there and preaches in Samaria. Why this is so intrigues me is because that we today, 2,000 years later, we are still preaching to the Gentiles. We're still preaching to people that are lost. We're still preaching to people you need to get saved. And Jesus Christ is the answer. And as Philip goes to Samaria and starts preaching to them this message that I'm fixing to give you, that I'm about to give you, it was because that church, this was the first beginning for the church to recognize its mission to take the gospel to Gentile people. And that's you and me. And here we find that here it was, this was the period of transition. And we find that these were the first steps to the beginning toward Gentile people. And we find it that even today, we are still experiencing these revivals and crusades and campaigns around the world. And it started 2,000 years ago with Philip. And what is so beautiful about this is he goes down to Samaria. Look at verse 5 with me. And this is the message that he preached. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. What did I preach? What did he preach? I said, what did he preach? He preached Christ unto them. Christ was not Jesus' last name, as you well know that. This means the anointed one. And he's preaching about the anointed one, and he's preaching about Christ. And listen, church, they were heathen people. They just did not take to all of this. Man, we know all of the stuff that happened took place in Samaria. And here is Philip now preaching in Samaria, and the message was Christ. As I've traveled around the world in many countries and preached the gospel, the message has not changed. As it started with Philip preaching Christ, I'm still preaching Christ. Christ is still the answer. Christ is the one that still saves. He's still the one that heals. He's the one that delivers. He's the one that sets you free. Christ is still the message that we need to be preaching to the world today. Amen. And as we preach Christ, this is what makes the difference. Hallelujah. And is it? And when he preaches Christ, and I'll tell you right now, if you get out here on your streets and your place, I want every person in a church to become evangelists. You should become, I think you called them missionaries this morning or something like that. You should be the one that is telling people about Jesus Christ, that this is the Christ. And it says in verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, what he was talking about, hearing and seeing the miracles in which that he did. If Philip, whoever he was, the Bible never talks too much about it. Only a couple other times is his name ever mentioned in the Bible. But he preached Christ unto them. People were saved. People were healed. People were delivered. People were set free. It was such a magnitude that even the sorcerers tried to buy the Holy Spirit and buy speaking in tongues. And Peter rebuked Ananias and said, that your money perish with you. Praise God. Church, let me just tell you this right now. As he preached Christ, look at some of the results that happened. It said unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsy and they were lame were healed. When we preach Christ in this sanctuary, to this congregation, and to your friends and your neighbors, and we keep preaching Christ, there's going to be the lame's going to be healed. I said this, those with palsy, those with sick, these with diseases, whatever happened. You keep preaching Christ here in this church. You keep preaching Christ out there on the streets. You keep preaching Christ. You're going to start seeing miracles. Why? It's because his word will not return void. It's not going to return void. And you're going to start seeing the great miracles of God. Amen. Amen. And I like what it says in verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. Come on, everybody say that. There's eight words in that verse. There was great joy in that city. I believe that here in this city, we can have great joy in this city. That people say that where they're going to go to church and what they're going to do and what city they're going to, because they're seeing miracles, they're experiencing and all the salvation, the deliverance. Hallelujah, man. This is awesome. And you are part of it. I said, you're part of it. Praise God. And that we see what God is doing. Hallelujah. And that he wants to see great joy. How many believe that we can have great joy in our church? Amen. How many believe we can have great joy in our city? Amen. Listen, church, the thing is that is so ironic about this, this is ours already. It is already ours for the taking. All we have to do is believe God and take it, hallelujah, and receive it, and we'll start seeing friends and neighbors and people and loved ones come to Christ and be saved and be healed, be delivered. Those who are sick and those that's all, there are going to be miracles happening and taking place. I've seen too many blinded eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, and the lame to walk. I have seen it over and over and over. I'm always asked this question, Pastor. How come you always see this in Africa? And why do you always see it in South America? How come, you know, they're in America or England or something? They said, why don't we see it? Believe. I said, all you have to do is believe. There's nothing hard about it. There's nothing hard about it is believe. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. That's what he says in the 22nd verse. He said, have faith in God. It's a command to have faith in God. And that's the reason why this morning as we prayed for you And Doris was with me, and as she's sharing, as we were sharing her miracle and her healing, I just want you to know that you are the very apple of his eye. And he wants to give you power. He wants to give you the words to say. He wants to give you the words to say as you pray and talk to someone. The Assemblies of God, which this is an Assembly of God church, I guess everybody knows that, just did a big interview with how many people of the constituency of the Assemblies of God has ever witnessed to a person that was lost and did not know Jesus. And the survey that they took came back that 95% of the constituency of the Assemblies of God has never, ever witnessed to a person to accept Jesus Christ. There's something wrong with this picture. We've got to witness to people. We've got to witness to people and tell people about Jesus Christ. I just want you to understand something with me tonight. Is that we are the ones to be able to, are going to be able to tell people. I don't care if it's on your job or where it is or whatever happened. We need to tell people about Jesus. Amen. We need to preach Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pastor, I got a lot of stuff to say, but I just feel like that you need to come up here. Yeah, come up here, man. Yeah. We have a rebellious pastor in the house. Love this guy. I just want the people to understand this is not difficult. This is not hard. We're not trying to recruit people to join the army here. We're just trying to get people to get into the services of God and be a witness. And let's bring them in here. And they bring them in, we'll pray for them.
Amen.
Amen. Would you do that for me right now? Just talk to them a little bit.
Okay.
Talk to them a little bit. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. Let's give God praise for Pastor Franklin. Let's have the band back because we're going to finish up now. Yeah. Well, you know, we've heard this incredible ministry tonight and just how it all connects. Jesus crying out to the Father and saying, you know, Lord, I want you to glorify me and glorify yourself with that same glory. And then he goes on further to say, Lord, I want every one of these children, everyone that you've given to me to experience and encounter this same glory that we had right from the beginning of the foundations of the world. And the amazing thing about this is when you connect it with what we've just read in Acts 8, and we see how God is once again pouring out his glory by his Spirit. Because that's the answer to the prayer. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
As he's pouring him out upon his church once again. When we hear that statistic of 95% church. And you know, the thing about it is, you know, when Paul says to his disciple, Timothy, he writes to him and he says to Timothy, you know, you preach this gospel, you preach the word, but you do the work of the evangelist. And God isn't calling, you know, not all of us have been called by God to be missionary evangelists, but every one of us has been called by God to do the work of an evangelist. And boy, man, I pray that it's not 95% in our own lives. You know, I really pray it's not. Because only you can know what that percentage is. If we are really being honest, and I really believe that in the time that we got left tonight, we need to have an encounter with Jesus again.
Yes, sir.
Some of you need a touch from God. Because the circumstances that you are facing, some of you on a daily basis, have been the very thing to distract you from simply doing what Philip did, and that is to preach Christ. For some of you, this concept is so far removed from your reality because of what the world has offered you.
Yes, come on now, Pastor.
Because of what the world has given to you. There is only one glory at stake.
Yes, that's it.
And that's the glory of Christ.
Amen.
But you know, the world has its own glory. And when the world comes and says, right, I'm going to offer you what I have with all of the baggage, of course we're not going to preach Christ as we should preach Christ. But you know, it just takes one touch from the King. Just one touch from the King changes everything. And tonight I believe that God can either ignite or reignite something again in all of our hearts, because we have a bay that needs Christ. We have a bay that needs to be transformed. Every day I wake up and Lord, I say, God, I think about our neighbors. I think about our neighbors to the right of us, our neighbors to the left of us. I think about, you know, where they're at spiritually. I think about all the people around us. You know, I think about, and I see as pastors in ministry, you know, we don't have that luxury of being able to brush shoulders with, because we are so bugged down and busy with doing church stuff. And I'm praying, God, give us the wisdom to break away from that and just somehow find a way, Lord, to come up. Because you know something, church? None of this, I tell you what, God is, Living Waters Church is not going to be in heaven. I can tell you that right now. Our name, our reputation, how lovely our building was or wasn't. I'm talking about lovely buildings. The buildings that we're going to have in heaven will be, they will be phenomenal.
Yes, it is.
Living Waters, whatever church you're part of, you might be visiting tonight. None of those accomplishments, nothing will stand the test of fire. The only thing that will stand the test of fire are those through whom Christ has brought through us into the kingdom of heaven. And we can just carry on with life. But Jesus is coming back. And he is coming back soon. And he will want to know, when we all stand before him, he will want to know what we have done with our time. He will want to know what we've done with our talents. He will want to know what we've done with the things that he has entrusted into our care. And the greatest thing of all is his name.
Yes.
Peter said, you are the Christ.
Yes. You are the Christ. That's it.
You are the anointed one.
Yes.
You are the anointed one. And every single time we call upon that name, this anointing is released. And not just in drips, but in the fullness of it. Do you know that there is no other name by which we might be saved? There is no other name to which every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. There is absolutely no other name that causes demons to flee and causes sickness to flee. There is no other name that causes hearts to melt and to respond to the love, to the power, to the authority that comes when that name is called. But we are so far removed from that reality. If we are really honest, yes, we read our Bibles, we pray, we worship, we come to church faithfully. But we are so far removed from the daily reality of the power that comes when we call upon the name of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes maybe we feel awkward because we don't, if we can call upon, we can say Father, we can say God, we can use all these different things in our Christian language, but you examine yourself and see how many times you have called upon that name. You have used that name. You have spoken in that name. You have witnessed in that name. You have made declarations in that name, especially to those who don't know that name. And you know, child of God, we're not sharing this tonight so that, you know, you feel bad or whatever. We're sharing this tonight so that something is provoked on the inside of you. Because every one of us are in the same boat. Just like I preached last week, the 12 were all in the same boat. Every one of us are in the same boat. But it takes just someone who recognizes who Christ is and says, Lord, if it is you, call me to come to you on the water. And I have faith, we have faith to believe that there's more than one. We might all be on the same boat and the sea is really rocky. We hear what's happening in the news and, you know, and all that's happening in the world. And I tell you what, this is what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to both myself and Pastor Zhu about. The circle is getting tighter and tighter around the church globally, not just the persecuted church. Now, this does not mean that the church is in decline, because the church is never going to be in decline. Jesus declared, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But that's absolutely true. But it will not stop Satan from putting a constriction around the church and squeezing and trying to gain territory. But now God is empowering his people to push back. He is empowering every one of us to push and push and push, because we are the ones who are going to advance the kingdom. We are the ones who are going to take territory from the enemy. But it requires every one of us having enough faith to believe that even though I am in the boat, even though I have fear, even though I have a little bit of uncertainty about sharing my faith. I mean, if you're going to preach to cows, man, preach to cows. If you're going to preach to dogs, preach to dogs. You're going to preach to cats, preach to cats. You know, God is simply saying, I just need you to be honest with me. I just need you to come to me and let's do this together. Let's do it together. Don't look at me tonight and think, well, it's all well and good for you. I said, you know, church, I'm very vulnerable. I'm trying to be less vulnerable, to be really honest, but you have no clue. You have no clue what's going on in my life. And I'm crying to, you know something? Why? Because the fear of the Lord is on the inside of me. I will stand before him one day. It is inevitable. You and I, we and I, you know something? I will be judged for how I have lived my life. I will be judged for what I have done with this gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't need to be worried about my sins because that's been cleansed by the blood of Christ. But church, I will be judged for how I use the talents that he's placed in my life. I am answerable for my own life. I can't speak for you. I can't speak for you. You can't speak for me. I can't speak for my wife. I can't speak for my children. You will stand before Christ on your own. It is a reality. It is inevitable. It is going to happen. And this is his desire. It's his desire. Jesus right now is not in heaven, in his heavenly place, waiting for us to fail. Jesus is cheering us on, believing we will succeed. We will stand before him. But he is believing. He has faith. He has faith. That's why he prayed for us. He prayed to the Father on our behalf. John 16 and 17. He prayed and he interceded because he has faith that you and I will succeed. And that's why he intercedes even now. What is the point of him interceding for us if he has no faith in the one that he is interceding to? So I think what we're going to do tonight, Nigel, please come and take this away. What we're going to do tonight is this. Let's all stand. Pastor said I should come and wrap up. But, you know, someone said, well, we didn't really get the word this morning. We didn't get a sermon this morning. We got one tonight, praise God. In fact, you got two, amen. But this is the thing. Like Pastor, I love to teach. I love the Word of God. And that's why we meet. We meet to worship. We meet to praise. We meet to fellowship. We meet to get taught and be taught and receive. But you know something? Sometimes when the Lord says, what you need is not another sermon. What you need is an encounter with my love. What you need is an encounter with my power. And maybe tonight, that's the Lord is going to call you to. Because your heart, your spirit. David said, my heart and my flesh cry out. You might not be saying anything with your mouth, but your spirit is actually crying out, Lord, if that is you, command me, call me forth to come to walk, to come to you on the water, to walk on the water with you. You know, if that is you tonight, and you know, I'm just going to ask Pastor Franklin, Sister Doris, Pastor Wynell, and Pastor Paul to come in a minute to pray for you. I'm going to ask them to pray for both myself and my wife. So I think we'll be maybe first in line. No, actually, no. The first will be last, and the last will be first. We'll go last, so we get, you know. No. We're just gonna. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord. You know, time is gone, but you know, let's just give the Holy Spirit His time tonight. The guy's just gonna lead us in this song, and then we'll. Because I really believe that something significant is going to take place in our hearts tonight. Something really powerful is going to take place in our hearts tonight. Some of you are going to get confirmation tonight on something. I don't know what it is, but you're going to get something is going to land tonight. Something is going to land tonight. Let's worship, guys. Come on.